Well, I'm going to say a quick prayer and we are going to get started here. Will you pray with me? Father God, in the name of Jesus, we welcome your Holy Spirit into this place right now. We pray that he would infill us to be able to hear, to absorb everything that you want us to hear today. Father, I pray that you would be with Wayne as he is home not feeling well. Bring him back to full health. And I thank you, Father, that you have allowed me the privilege of being able to share your word today. We ask that you would bless our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. I would like you to turn with me to Zechariah 9. And verse 9. And keep your Bibles handy because we're going to turn to another scripture after this. Zechariah, for those of you who are new and don't know this, is actually in the Old Testament, near the end of the Old Testament. And this, what we are going to read, is actually a foretelling of what was to come. All right? And it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And then I would like you to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 12. And as you can tell, we are reading about the original Palm Sunday, the events of that time. The Gospel of John, chapter 12 and verse 12. And give me an amen when you're there. Praise the Lord. "The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel.' Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written, 'Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt.' At first, the disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him, and they had done these things to him. Now, the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb, and raised him from the dead, continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he was given, had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, 'See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him.'" Father God, please bless the reading of your word today. Okay, today we are celebrating Palm Sunday. And actually, Palm Sunday is a remembrance of the day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem. How many of you knew that? Well, some didn't. Very good. I'm happy so many did. The people welcomed him by throwing their coats and palm branches on the ground in front of him. Now, this was an ancient expression of honor and submission. So they were, by all accounts, thrilled. They cried out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." What a wonderful, awful day that had to be for Jesus. On the one hand, he was finally being recognized as the king. On the other hand, he knew what was coming. He was one step closer to the agony he was going to have to endure and what he was going to have to go through. So that is why I said, a wonderful and awful day. But we're going to back up a little bit. Back to a little history of that. The people of that day were looking for a king. They wanted someone that was going to ride in on a white horse and save them. And they were looking to Jesus to be that person. At this time, the Roman soldiers were everywhere. Rome had conquered a great amount of the world, and Israel was one of their conquests. So the Roman soldiers were all over the place. Now, needless to say, they weren't kind. They were cruel, and they didn't care. They looked on the Jews as probably a little less than dirt. That's Mary paraphrased. That's not in the Bible. But they didn't care for them, and the Jews, quite frankly, just wanted to be liberated from them. They wanted them out of Israel. They wanted them out of Jerusalem. They wanted the Romans gone, and they wanted a king who was going to come in, raise up an army, and help them to destroy them and get them out. They wanted their God to help them do that. That was not the plan. It was frustrating for the Jews, because in walks Jesus. He comes on the scene, and they are enthralled. Jesus was a rabbi, which is a teacher of the law. He was a miracle worker. He was a rebel, because he didn't go along with a lot of the things, the man-made laws of the Pharisees. And he was their version of a rock star. So for any of you kids, you got it? He was all that. Now, we used to say, and I know I'm going to date myself, all that in a bag of chips. Oh, Mother Amanda says, why did you say that? I can still say it. I'm old. I don't care. The truth was, some people loved him, and some hated him, and a vast majority of them just followed him to see him do miracles. Now, we have people like that today. You know, you're enthralled by someone. Some people can love a person. Some can just absolutely hate that person. And some people just love what a person can do, and they are enthralled by that. That was the situation with Jesus. He would talk about life in a way that they could understand. And he would talk about the kingdom of God. And he did that with great authority. It was because of those things that the Jewish leaders absolutely despised him. We read earlier, they didn't want him around. They couldn't control him. They could not see past what they perceived as blasphemy on his part. The people would flock to see Jesus, and the religious leaders of that time could not keep them in line. They were frustrated. They could tell him, don't you go and see him. But they did it anywhere. They couldn't keep Jesus in line. And it was because of that hatred they wanted him dead. Not just silenced, they wanted him dead. He was a great preacher who just happened to be God. Think about it. The best speaker on a subject is the one who wrote the book. He was there. He wrote the book. Today, as we celebrate Palm Sunday, it is a reminder of how we welcome Jesus into our hearts and how we follow him. You know, growing up, I always thought that the word Hosanna meant hallelujah, praise the Lord, some type of thing like that. And I think it has evolved into that. I do think that it has that meaning in our wording, in our language, to mean more hallelujah, praise you, Lord. We praise you and bless you. But I was questioning it, so I went on my handy-dandy internet, where you can put anything in and you can get an answer. Whether it's right or not is questionable. But I put in, what was the original Hebrew meaning of Hosanna? And I was kind of shocked, because the original Hebrew meaning was, in fact, pray, save us. It wasn't hallelujah. It was save us. When Jesus came into Jerusalem on that donkey, what these people were saying, they were throwing their cloaks and their palm branches. They were ripping them off the trees. And what they were doing was begging, save us. We can't take it anymore. We need you. We need someone to come and take us out of this mess with these Romans. The problem is they wanted deliverance from the Romans, but they were not looking for a salvation. It was all in the physical that they were crying, Hosanna, please, please come and save us. Well, you know, folks, today is no different. Many of us are frustrated and we're crying out, Hosanna, God, come save us. We're frustrated. I don't know if all of you are. I'm frustrated with the way this world has gotten. As I said earlier, everything that is wrong is made to look right, and everything that is right is made to look wrong. And now Christians are getting a mark on their back by a certain group that we are a problem for everything wrong in their life. It is open season. We've been warning people of that for years and years. People, at times here, we're living it. Hosanna, come and save us. But I think we need to focus on something different, folks. We need to focus on not just the country, but the condition of our hearts. We have a host of people going to hell in a handbasket. And we're crying, Hosanna, help us, deliver us from this evil. You know what? There are things far worse than Roman soldiers and evil politicians. Hell is for real. You know when I told you the word Selah? Some pronounce it Selah, some Selah. It means pause and think about it. Well, think about this. Hell is real. And if you have not accepted Christ, if you have not repented of your sins and accepted Christ, you can say Hosanna all you want, and you may get some relief from what's going on in the world today. But the condition of the heart may not change. If that doesn't change, what does the rest matter? It says in Matthew 16, verse 26, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? There is a fate far worse than Roman soldiers and evil politicians. People need to get back to making the most important thing the most important thing. How many of you have friends or loved ones that aren't saved? It's staggering. And believe me, I've got neighbors, friends, loved ones. And sometimes the hardest people to talk to is your family. It is. And if you find that it's hard to talk to your family, then you need to be praying that the Lord will place someone in a position to be able to talk to them for you, that will lead them to Him, that an open door will, that a door will be opened, that they will come to you. You know, if it's just that first initial breaking the ice type of thing. If you know someone and the Lord has laid him on your heart, and you know that they are facing an eternity in hell, if you are praying for them and you say, Lord, give me the opening I need, He'll do it. He will provide an opening. And, you know, every night, this is the grandma part of me and the mom. Every night I pray for my family. How many of you parents do the same thing? I pray. I pray for a hedge of protection around them. I pray that the Holy Spirit would fill them and the blood of Jesus would cover them. I pray that each one is secure in their position with Christ. And I pray that if any sin is there, and in myself, I don't think I'm just praying this for everybody else because I'm perfect. In myself, I pray for a Holy Ghost conviction for those areas of sin that are still in my life. You know, I was listening to a pastor this morning, and he said, it's amazing how Christians can say, Lord, that person, it's the speck in your own eye and the log in someone else's. Okay? We think we're all that. We think we're good. You know, we punched our ticket, we go to church, and we believe there's God. We believe Jesus died. We think we're great. But when we are praying for everyone else, don't forget to pray that the Lord reveals himself to you. That he reveals what things are displeasing to him in our own life. Because I have to do that too. There are a lot of things that I need to repent of. And the notion that you repent once and you get saved and you've punched your ticket and you're all good. People, you can't repent once for everything. You have to continually work on that relationship with Christ. You have to repent on a regular basis. Bring those things that you do, because we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. We have to repent continually. Bring it to the Lord and say, I'm sorry. I screwed up. I did it again. Please give me the strength to stay away from that. Give me the strength to live a life that is righteous and holy and pleasing in your sight. Hosanna. Save me. It's time for all of us to cry out, Hosanna. Hosanna. That is why Jesus came on Palm Sunday. He knew that this was just one step. And next week is the best part. On Easter Sunday, we see what was fulfilled by next Sunday. But in the meantime, we need to prepare this week. I believe we're having communion next Sunday, and my apologies, I didn't get that in the bulletin. But we need to prepare. We don't come here and take communion lightly. Hosanna. Save us. Hosanna. Pray. Why do you think the word pray was in there? They wanted him to pray and save them. That's what we need to have. We need to have a Hosanna, Hosanna, save us. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I know that you laid this on my heart for such a time as this. I know, Father, that this was a short message. But I know it is what you wanted to say. You want us as your children to cry out to you, just as a child would cry out to his father here, save me, Daddy. That's what you're telling us. Cry out to me. Hosanna. Cry out for me to save you. Cry out for me to heal you. Cry out for me to be your all in all. Cry out for me to do everything for you that I have promised in my word that I would do. Father, we look forward to an eternity with you, where there will be no more crying. there will be no more fear. There will be no more frustration. Things will be good. But in the meantime, Lord, Hosanna, save us. Hosanna, pray for us. Father, we glorify your name. We give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory that we can do, that is within our power to give you. You are a great, awesome, and mighty God, and we love you, Lord. And just as they did years back at the first Palm Sunday, we lay our lives down for you, Lord, and say, Hosanna, but we also say, Hallelujah. Blessed be your name. Blessed are you, Father, for you have brought us our salvation. We ask all this in Jesus' most precious name. Amen.